So I took this online venture and learned a few things. It started with me looking up what is considered a swimming pool, like what depth, and if you're using inches, that would be 24 inches in Pennsylvania. Because I was curious if you would have to insure it or not. So you wouldn't have to insure it unless it was considered a swimming pool. So a swimming pool has to be over 24 inches to be considered a swimming pool. So that was interesting. And then I started getting to this article talking about community pools and how they're considered public good and public goods and services are non-rival and non-exclusive, which is an interesting way to describe it, which is pretty vague. Let's fix that. So, in summary, it has to be available to everyone, and that's the non-exclusive, and the non-rival. I'm trying to remember what that even meant at this point. Wow. Let me see. Non-rival would be... trying to even find it again. So I think it's something about there's enough for everyone. So if something was rivalrous, it would mean that it becomes more scarce as people consume it. So it has to do with the abundance of something, the amount of something. So it's interesting that public pools can charge you then. This is where it starts to get gray, because then it's like, if something is considered a public good, then it would be considered available to everyone, and then it would be free, unless it would be available only to the wealthy or people with money, and then that makes it exclusive, which isn't a public good. So there's this huge gray area of like, well, how are we charging for a public good, which is a community pool? It doesn't make sense. So then you go into it deeper and you find out that national defense is a public good. Yep. And you find out that higher education is a public good. And I think that one is because of the research-based universities, because knowledge is considered a public good, and knowledge comes from research. Although lots of the research doesn't actually benefit the community, it doesn't actually benefit the residents. When someone's doing research, it is not directly benefiting the community in every circumstance. There are cases where they're like, oh, okay, we could benefit from ramps going up the sidewalks, which sidewalks are a public good. Sidewalks and roadways, accessible to everyone. We're not going to run out of enough sidewalks. So the ramp, they did research, I suppose, on the angle the ramp would need to be in order for it to be accessible to someone in a wheelchair or pushing a walker or using a cane. So that's 1 inch every 1 inch in incline every 12 inches, if I remember that correctly from grad school. And that's ADA compliant, America with Disabilities Act compliant. So that's ramps on sidewalks, that's ramps for buildings. I'm sure that was research-based. That is useful, totally. But we are doing research on all kinds of things that isn't benefiting anyone in the community. How about research on the amount of stress people are taking on and how to make that better? How about research on how many playgrounds are necessary within 1,000 feet of a neighborhood in order to improve the well-being of the children and the adults? Because if the children's well-being is improved, the adults' well-being is improved, and vice versa. There are, in Mexico City, the playgrounds include fitness places for the adults right next to the playground for the kids. So the parents, mom and mom, dad and dad, mom and dad, mom, dad, grandparents, whoever the caregivers are, aunts, uncles, cousins, older siblings, whoever is taking care of those children can work out a little bit while they take their children to the park if they please. That is a public good. That's a public good. More of those, please. More of those adult children playgrounds, adult facilities outside next to playgrounds. Let's do that. Because adults and children need to be taken care of. And whether or not you have children, it doesn't have to be just people with children that get to enjoy these fitness facilities next to playgrounds. I mean, there could be one right next to the playground and there could be one a little bit further away. For the people who don't really necessarily want to be next to the kids, maybe they don't want to hear their screaming and yelling and carrying on. That's their prerogative. Even though that's usually a joyful noise when kids are playing. Maybe you need to hear it if you're trying to avoid it, really. Anyway, and aside from that, so higher education, research, public good. Please explain that, because not all research is going directly into the community. Not all of the outcomes of the research is benefiting the community. Let's make sure it is. Let's make that transparent. And also, the national defense. So less and less people are wanting to go into the military. Oh, big surprise. So recruitments are low. So wouldn't that mean there's extra money somewhere that could be diverted into the community? And who gets to say what the national defense budget is? I don't remember voting on public goods. I don't ever remember seeing that on the ballot. I don't remember voting on what percentage of the budgets for the fiscal year go to which departments. I don't remember seeing that on the ballot. Let's see that, and let's see a breakdown. Let's make that more transparent for states, cities, towns, townships. What is going where? I want a newsletter with that information. No more junk mail in my email or my mailbox. I want relevant information. I want the ability to make a decision for my community that benefits the community, that benefits everyone. Isn't that what everyone wants? Their communities to be uplifted and improved and connected. The well-being of the community to be in the green. Green spaces are public goods. We need more of those. How are countries deciding on public goods? I want to see that information. And then I want it to change. Because the residents of each area are the ones that are affected by these decisions that are being made by what is a public good. So the residents are the ones that need to be making the choices about what is a public good. We get to decide where that money goes. We're putting people in office that are making these decisions. We don't know these people. We don't know what their values are. Are their values in line with the communities? Are they in line with their bank accounts, interest, interest rates, the individual's interest, or the community's interest? It's time for communities to start making decisions about their communities. Not just a few individuals. There needs to be transparency. Emotional safety, social safety, emotional well-being, mental well-being, physical well-being. That's the priority. And how can we turn that into the public good? That would look like more green spaces. That would look like more leisure time. That would look like community events. That would look like community gardens. Maybe classes on the gardening and the canning. That's public goods and services. Maybe police officers can also become teachers for communities. They can help with these kinds of things. That's public goods and services. So law enforcement, infrastructure, Department of Defense, the National Defense. All these things are considered a public good and service. Well, let's transform them a little bit and have them benefit the communities. Maybe our military needs to be learning how to garden and to can and to build their own earth homes. And then they go into neighborhoods, the State Guard and the reserves. They go into neighborhoods and show the community how to do these things. That would be more beneficial than what we have going on right now. More weapons, more shipment of weapons to other countries. More armored vehicles. No. We need our people to thrive in this country. And they thrive when they have healthy emotional well-being, social well-being, physical well-being, spiritual well-being, when they feel safe. People feel so scared that we need more weapons. That creates more fear. We don't need more of that. We need less of that. We need more connection. We need more people that are already employed right now, changing what they do for this country. I remember going to drill and we're inspecting vehicles, or we're going to the range and making sure our weapon is zeroed in case of an emergency or crisis or war or battle or what have you, spending money on bullets. Or we are doing a physical fitness test, or we are taking a training on driver's training, or I taught resiliency training. That was useful. That was useful. What if all these trainings were training communities how to be a better community? What if we did that? That would be a public good and service. That would be a great way to spend tax dollars. funneling it back into the community, because funneling the community's money into national defense is not actually funneling money back into the community. It doesn't provide a public good and service. It does not. This is a very backwards way of thinking. We're promoting peace here. Peace within our bodies, peace within our homes, peace within our families, peace within our communities, peace within our states, peace within our countries. And we already have some infrastructure in place that could help with this. Let's start doing that. Let's change how money is being moved around and the priorities. So less research unless it's directly benefiting a community. And all of these law enforcement and military personnel, it's time to get to know your community. We're paying people to renovate our homes. Well, we have thousands of people who could do that work as a community benefit. Your tax dollars are paying for it. It's called the military. You're paying for it anyway. You're paying for the military to go inspect some vehicles over the weekend, if it's the Guard or the Reserves, and all these other things. All these hundreds and thousands of people are available every weekend of every month. How about they start helping the communities directly? Public goods and services.